Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positively into the funky season, where we're looking for a head coach. I'm looking for some crab cake tour stops here later on, as well as some new sponsors in 2026. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, Candy Cane Cash. I have these to give away. Still smell like last year. They smell like peppermints. And who knew that a Christmas and a new year would bring a new head coach around here. And certainly for me, we're going to be doing the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. Now that we know the Ravens aren't going to Santa Clara, we will be all over the community for the Maryland Food Bank, as well as with our friends at GBMC. I'm wearing my Planet Fitness team shirt here that they gave me over at Timonium, so I'm appreciative of that, as well as the black card and me being able to get on that at hydro massage, because I'm going to need some relaxation when this is all over with. I did a whole bunch of radio on Tuesday morning. Joel Poiley is going to be my guest. He's down in Tampa. He's got the Baltimore Colts signed by. I almost got a Clippers bobblehead last week for $80 on the internet because I'm out of my mind because I wanted it. But Joel is a guy who's from Baltimore but made his life as a longtime sports writer in Tampa. And Joel, I'm going to pay you one of the higher compliments just coming into this thing here. And, I don't give many of those out. I don't. In the aftermath of like this firing and baseball season, like I first off, as a journalist, I was taken aback by this, and I'm not surprised by much. But Luke and I drove to Pittsburgh together. I sat in the cold. We were together all night. We slept 3 hours. We did 4 hours of radio. We drive 5 hours home. Well, like all of that, I don't think it ever literally, because we're tactical. He's a school teacher. I'm an entrepreneur. Like, we would have had a plan that would have been better than him being at his mother's house at 5 in the afternoon. But I swear there's a sixth sense that sports writers have. And my highest praise for you is I don't really want to talk to people that don't know what they're talking about after things like this. And no offense to taking phone calls. I did that when Marcia Broda was out. I did that when Billick was out. I just not like I see it on the internet, and there are people that I want to talk to who've been in and around all of this and the business of this and the personalities and the egos and the billionaires and the millionaires and all of it. And to me, I only really want to talk to people that have been around locker rooms and around teams, because I think there's a different perspective, and you would agree with this as you were fanboy in Pikesville as a kid running around Memorial Stadium that then became reporter guy all of your life here and then in Tampa, trying to like do what I'm doing and what you're doing right now is get the story right for everybody, right? In the aftermath, we're trying to get the story right about Monk and this, that, Bisciotti, money, Lamar, his role. And I think unpeeling it for people like you and me, who are journalists, who like are trying to scratch beyond, what what really happened on 9/11, or what really happened on January 6th, or like taking a deeper dive into these things. I appreciate having guys like you around. And you tried to beg off. You're like, oh, I get a local guy. I'm like, dude, nobody watches more Ravens football than you. You haven't missed a Ravens football game in your life, I don't think, right?
I mean, I don't see every game, every play, but hey, it's good to be back with you. But you make a great point, because the one thing about getting older is it gives you perspective and experience. We have seen these things before, and knowing I was coming on, and this just broke yesterday, I started thinking you can make comparisons. The same kind of thing happened with Shula when Rosenblum just couldn't take the fact that, all those near misses in the early 60s, and then he has a bad year in 69. These things add up. I think that the situation with Harbaugh is it's recent history. I mean, great record. It's like Luke was saying yesterday, he's going to end up in the Ring of Honor up there. Although I have a lot of friends up there and family to still watch the games. They don't think he's a great in-game coach, but that's a whole other subject. But this is about recent history. They are trending the wrong way. And it was the same thing with Shula, even though he had a tremendous record, like John did. And it just reached a point after the 69 season. Okay, Don left, but his relationship was so fractured with Rosenblum that once that offer came through with Miami, he had to leave town.
I think Earl Weaver was the same thing in 82. Earl didn't really want to leave. He came back and managed again, but new ownership, right? Altobelli, all we tried in 79. We had the we went through the strike, won 100 games and still didn't make the playoffs in eight. Like all of that went on, and it was just sort of like time, you know? And second acts, though, with Andy Reid and with what Sean Payton is doing right now, that is there. I don't want to say a dime a dozen, even what his brother's coaching, you know, the Chargers and is in the playoffs this weekend. So that opportunity, and that would be the same thing for Bisciotti, that if he wants to go and hire, I'm throwing a note out for Jim Schwartz because he's my buddy, but someone like that, whether it's Cliff Kingsbury, somebody who's been a coach before, there's some definite thought about that with Vrabel and with what he missed out on a McDonald, but it does open up the whole spectrum of when you're in the market for a coach, is he going to be as good as our guy? But what good is it? And I said this, Joel, and I'm in Baltimore and you're in Tampa. By the way, Joel Poilievre is our guest here. If you're tuning in on radio, he lost the city. Harbaugh lost the city. Harbaugh lost me because he didn't have any integrity. And how hard would it? Think about how messed up it is that they lost me. How much Chad Steele I've had to deal with to lose me. Like, you know, especially when you're winning Super Bowls, you're in the playoffs every year. Like the Harbaugh thing to me and the culture of the building has evaporated, especially with Sashi Brown being around. Because at least with Dick Cass, they had a grown-up around there, the perception of one. But Ray Rice, the Wembley knee, the Justin Tucker stuff, the losing, the disappointment, just all of it, all the way around, they haven't managed anything well there in that way in the Bisciotti era. They've had a lot of ish stains in their underwear and not and they brought a Super Bowl in, and that's great. But there's been a Super Bowl. And there's been a lot of disappointment. And quite frankly, Joel, it's been a lot of shame. You know, like literally, and I've worn it front facing about the way that they operate with these massage ladies and just being around Ray Rice and women and a glass elevator and lying about it. And then the Wembley knee for the Trumpers. So, as well as for anybody whose skin color is a little different, that took a little umbrage to Trump calling people SOBs. So, all that being said, it's a mess, right? I mean, in that way for them, and there's a lot of drama going on in there right now, and a lot of personality and a lot of money. And Harbaugh had a $50 million deal and walked in, and Steve's like, you know, go fish, basically, on Tuesday.
I have a good friend up there that follows the team. And, obviously I'm not in the building, so I don't have that insight. But he was watching games this year and he made a really good observation the other day where he doesn't blame any of this, any of the losing on Lamar. Everything he puts on is defense. But what he said about Lamar, I found really interesting. He said during games, he noticed Lamar and Harbaugh had no interaction, particularly this year. And in the past, he would see a lot of sideline interaction during games. And you wonder about the culture and what went on in the locker room. Now, you and Luke, particularly Luke, would know more about that. But, brother,
I know for a
sometimes.
fact Harbaugh didn't like him not coming to OTAs. Like, I have texts from Harbaugh about things that I tweeted out about Lamar needing to get his ass to OTAs and be a leader if he wants to be a leader. And this is back when he's 24, 25 years old, right? So it's very obvious Steve chose Lamar over John and John's culture. I don't know what that means for the next coach, but you and I both know, and you get a little more salt on the mountain than I got, like, letting the players run the building, I don't know. The NBA, that's the way it works, right? And I don't, but this really sounds like a Monken, Lamar, and Harbaugh saying, we run the team. You can't run the team. You know what I mean? Whereas Aaron Rodgers is on the field the other night running the Steelers offense and pissed off at Arthur Smith and throwing helmets and doing all that. But you know what? He delivered the pass in the end, like the last play when they needed to win. He didn't miss the extra point, but like Lamar's not that like that guy to I'm going to take over everything. But you almost have to let him do that when he's out there and he has the football. And I think that that was something that Greg Roman tried to neutralize a little bit and was given great criticism that, and Lamar's taking great care of the football, but there is the, hey, we're drawing up the plays and we're going to call the plays. And then after the game where Isaiah Likely's yelling at fans, we're ass, basically talking about his offensive coordinator and the game plan. And 2 weeks later, Harbaugh's getting fired over this with $50 million owed to him and the perception that he lost the building.
Yeah.
And I know he lost the community, Joel. You know what I mean? Like, it's very clear in the aftermath. People that may feel nice about his Christianity or his car commercials or whatever, or maybe they don't know him as intimately as I do. They have a warm fuzzy for him in the aftermath. But there isn't a lot of that. Even the people that have warm fuzzy on him are also like, it's been 18 years, man. You know what I mean? There's going to come a point where it's time. And it, obviously, he and Steve were not simpatico anymore. When that happens, there's got to be change.
Yeah, and look, sometimes the message gets lost with these guys. I mean, I've seen it. It happened with Dungy here. It happened with Gruden. 18 years is a long time. I mean, how many motivational speeches can you give to get guys moving? And just looking at the product on the field this year and even the past couple years, and you're right, because I know a lot of people up there just didn't like his game management. It was just very choppy. And for the amount of talent, I know they had issues on the offensive line, if you just want to look at that. And I know they had a lot of defensive issues too. But, I mean, Lamar made three really great throws in the game Sunday night. The rest of it, you know, they had a lot of three and outs. They had no rhythm. And a lot of that's coaching. A lot of that is just what's coming in from the sideline.
I think some of that was losing one-on-one battles in regard to Derrick Henry's effectiveness to get them into a down and distance that's more manageable. And Lamar's strength is his wheels. It's the threat of his wheels that backs everybody up a yard or two or three, that opens things up for Derrick Henry to get a running start, that opens it up for him to get a running start if he chooses to keep the ball, or for Zay Flowers to run over the top, which he did twice, to beat their ass, because it only takes that. It only takes that. Joel, I was sitting with the Steelers fans down in the bowl where Mike Tomlin left me a ticket, and I had two really nice guys next to me, two really nice guys in front of me, two a-holes to my left, right? It's Pittsburgh, right? But the nice guys that were around me, I was interacting with them, and I'm not all purpled up, but I said, I'm from Baltimore. I said, I'm not rooting for or against anybody. I'm a guest of Mike Tomlin, and I'm a journalist. I should be up in the press box like I've been for 30 years, eating Mr. Rooney's cookies. But I'm with these guys during the game, and obviously they were behind early in the game, but it was always, there was a lot of energy in the building. It was cold, but it wasn't windy. It wasn't nasty cold. It was fun dancing energy. Drink a couple of beers, gold. I didn't drink any beer. I don't know why. I just, maybe because it was expensive, it was just cold and I didn't want to pee more. You know what I mean? Like, I probably should have drank. My hands, I had gloves, you know, it was cold, right? My phone was frozen. I couldn't tweet. I went into the pisser behind section 142, sort of this was not Gucci. This was a Pittsburgh pisser. And I'm in there. It was nice and warm. And I got to do my whole halftime report on my phone. Right. And I'm in there with a purple phone. So, like, guys are walking by. They sort of know what's up. You know what I mean? So I gave myself away. The purple phone man told him who I was. But I went back down into the bowl. And then the third quarter, you know, the game gets a little more tight. Fourth quarter. And it feels like the Steelers are going to win, right? They were up 10 points. Like, do it. Lamar threw that pass to Zay Flowers over the top. Right. And the kid next to me just turns to me with, like, disgust. He's not booing. He just turns to me. He's like, that's just Lamar. Steeler hat on, West Virginia visor. That's just Lamar. You know, what are you going to do? You witness something great. You just tip your cap. You know what I mean? Literally. It's like a great golf shot or something, right?
I tell you, he's gotten rid of that label about a choker in big games, although there's always that one catastrophic mistake, you know, like the interception with Watt. But other than that, I mean, he kept them in the game. And it's interesting because I was listening to a talk show, it was probably a couple of days ago, before the firing, and it had all these ex-NFL jocks on there, and they did not think that Harbaugh should have been let go because they were saying the team is close and, you know, Lamar just had an injury prone season. But see, guys like that are not in the building, even though, you know, they're former players, but their perspective is a wider view. It's not the tunnel vision that is really going on with the team. You mentioned culture. And through the years, I've seen that so many times with teams. A guy can be a decent coach, but once you lose the locker room, especially nowadays with players making so much money, and it only takes one or two bad apples in a locker room to just bring a whole team down. I mean, I think that's what happened with the Bucks this year. So,
well, that's the amazing thing about Tomlin, to be able to manage the Ben Roethlisberger, you know, rape allegations, the Antonio Brown nonsense in the locker room, the Ryan Shazier, you know, tragedy. I mean, like losing big games, winning games. He's won a Super Bowl, lost a Super Bowl, like, you know, has had to do it without Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, being a black coach. And I looked around and everybody's white in Pittsburgh, you know, like literally. And like, it's a tough business all the way around. That's a tip of the cap to John Harbaugh for holding it together. But where I am, Joel, is where you are, which is the building, which is Steve came in there on Tuesday and said, what's the plan? And John said, the plan is Todd Monken and getting the quarterback in line. And the plan's to rein the quarterback in line because we got to get him healthy. We got to get him in the building. Like all these things that John's been after. And Steve's like, John, the building doesn't like you. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and the fans don't like you. And I love you. You're my guy. You've been my guy for 18 years, right? Like, there's a lot of relationship there. But, like, John, we need to coddle Lamar. Like, we just do. And Lamar doesn't want Monken. Lamar doesn't like, whatever that would be. Like, Lamar has won the battle, and Lamar's under contract at a $74 million cap number. It's only $51 million in cash. Luke corrected me on that because of all the upfront money, but it's a $74 million cap number. In order to lower the cap number, they're going to have to give him cash, and he has no agent, and they're going to have to hire a coach he likes. Like, literally, if that's the direction they're going in, and that's the direction they went in, because as Lucas pointed out for Todd Monken, Monken put him in a position to be the MVP last year along with Derrick Henry when he was healthy and the offensive line was a tad better maybe, and certainly the position players, whether it was Andrews, Likely, Flowers, Bateman, just down the line, D-Hop.
Right.
Although D-Hop, I always wonder what the hell that was about, like how underutilized that dude was here this year for Monken and for everybody else. But for me, with the Lamar circumstance
– right.
You know, Bisciotti picked Lamar over the head coach and basically said, let's retool that to win a championship in the next 3 to 5 years with Lamar. And John's going to be gone anyway in 3 to 5 years. And if John wants to go run the Giants and fight with his brother and do whatever, go run Michigan. I don't, whatever. Go run Notre Dame when I hire the Notre Dame coach. That'd probably be more up his alley. Because everybody would have to listen to him there. Maybe not anymore with the NIL. I mean, I don't know if you listen to college coach anymore either. Hey, dude, I'll go play for Baylor. You know, like they have outs in that way. John will have a job by the time this gets on the air, I guess, right? But for the Ravens and for where they are, this is a fascinating thing about wanting to come in and mesh with Lamar and want to work with Lamar and believe in Lamar and have DaCosta oversee this retooling of the offensive and defensive lines as well as salary cap to get Lamar to buy in. Because to me, Joel, to your point and your friend in the media who noticed the Lamar John thing, Lamar's not having any fun. Like, and I don't think anybody in the building's having any fun, and the fans aren't having any fun, and Nestor the media guy's not having any fun, and Nestor the fans not having any fun. So like, not having any fun doesn't mean I want to make it rain and give Bisciotti my credit card. And I think, you know, Luke pointed this out the other day, like March and John Monken or and healthy Lamar back out in spring would be unacceptable here. You know what I mean? Fans were angry. Fans, the city quit on John, man. I mean, I've seen it in the aftermath. I've never seen anything like it. Like, I have my own personal issue with John, but I'm not like P people are really happy John's gone.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see who the next coach is, you know?
Yeah. Well, also, too, the window with Lamar, I'm not saying it's shrinking. What is he, 29 or 30?
I would
But
say it's shrinking. I would say it's shrinking.
he's been banged up, over recent years. So,
I don't know
yeah.
that he's going to have in him to do what he did in Cincinnati 8 years ago, breaking three guys' ankles and running 80 yards to the end zone because nobody can catch him. I mean, maybe in the off season, and I don't doubt that kid at all. Anytime anybody's ever put his back to the wall, he's
Right.
gone back into the laboratory and gotten better, right?
Right.
Like I will fully acknowledge that about Lamar Jackson, but I will also acknowledge humanity in saying he's slower at 31 than he is at 21, and that
Right.
probably isn't going to play well for his game.
But you were talking about Harbaugh in the community too. I mean, Bisciotti has to look at this from a business perspective too. And if what you're saying is that true, where the city has quit on him, like you pointed out during the year, a lot of empty seats in the stadium, maybe some corporate sponsorships could be backing out. I mean, I don't know, but an owner has to look at all those things. Honestly, I'm very few things shock me at 68, but I'm shocked that Bowles still has a job down here because of all that. The fans hate him, the community hates him. He's a terrible in-game coach. They're going backwards. He actually meets with the Blazers today, as
And the best and
Brandon.
the worst of things happened in Tampa, where Brady came down there and for 5 minutes, it deodorized
Right,
everything, right?
right.
Literally, right?
But once he left, the culture in the building left, the accountability of the players left. So, I mean,
Well, Arians
although
was also an incredible grown-up, right, to bring in at that point.
Arians was great, Ness, because at that point in his career, he was giving everybody else credit, but you knew he was the engine behind everything. I mean, he was giving Byron Leftwich credit for running the offense, and Leftwich
And
was a
he got
terrible.
run out of Pittsburgh years ago when Tomlin came in, right? So like there was
Yeah.
a whole power thing when he didn't get that gig. And there were a couple other people that thought they were going
Yeah.
to get that gig in Pittsburgh as well.
Right.
Russ was it Russ the old lineman from the
Oh,
Redskins.
Baldinger? I
No,
don't
he
know.
was not bald. He was a Pittsburgh guy, but nonetheless,
Yeah.
the percent, hey, Jason Garrett was going to have this job, right? And I
Right.
brought that up with Luke, that Jason Garrett would be the guy because like Steve already loved him. Steve offered him the job and he didn't take it. Now Garrett's interviewing with Tennessee this week and is back in the loop for that. And I said to Luke, they need to hire a quarterback. Like
Yeah.
they need to hire someone that sees the game like Lamar for the
Right.
next 3 to 5 years. Dude, we're not in an 18-year head coaching hiring phase. We're in there. We're going to give you 2 or 3 years to figure it out. You have Lamar.
Right.
You don't, you know, there's no runway here. The runway's, we're on the runway. Let's go. Take
Yeah.
off. You
Yeah.
know, you have a quarterback. You have Derrick Henry, allegedly. You know,
Right.
they're good. But man, Stanley, Humphrey, Roquan, number Linderbaum's a huge number if they want to keep him. We lost our last center to you guys down in Tampa, you know, with
Right.
Jensen, and he went and won a couple Super Bowls. So it was my dude. He's built a big house out in Colorado. He's a great guy. I still
Right.
got the red hair rolling out, but
Of Jensen, yeah.
yeah. So for me, and well, Linderbaum's gonna get paid. And I don't know that they're going to have the money to pay him here. And I don't know what his relationship is with Lamar. But we're peeling back the onion of this offseason here to find out things must have been really, really bad, right? To be firing the coach on Tuesday afternoon and nobody could get along and there's no kumbaya. We can't go back and run it back. And the owner doesn't want that. And the fans don't want that. This is
Yeah.
a. I know that's happened in Tampa. You guys were the Yuccaneers there for a little while back in the creamsicle days.
Sure.
Dude, we're not. I mean, this is unfamiliar territory here in the same way that if Mike Tomlin got fired in Pittsburgh, they'd be like, we don't even
Yeah.
remember the last time somebody got fired around here, you know?
Yeah. No, Arians changed the whole culture here. I mean, they had, I think, a dozen losing seasons before he got here. But as far
Who
as
were
the
their other
rate,
coaches? They had Gruden and then a mess, right? Pretty much,
oh,
right?
God, that Raheem was here for 3 years. Schiano, Dirk Cutter. I mean, it was a mess. It was like every 2 years, the Blazers were just blowing somebody. Mike Smith. I mean, they just couldn't get it right until Arians got here. But, you start looking at the Ravens team, they also need an edge rusher and a lockdown corner. I mean, there are parts that they still need to be competitive. But you made a good point about Rodgers on Sunday night. I mean, you can say what you want. A lot of people don't like him, whatever, but he was running that team. I mean, you could see he was making decisions on the field, on the fly, you know, didn't have his best receiver. It was pretty impressive. I gotta hand Rodgers that. And I've seen games where Rodgers kind of tanked and, you know, if he threw an interception early, especially in playoff games. But
You know what I said driving
he
up the mountain,
impressed me.
Joel? I'm
What?
with Luke on Sunday morning. We're driving up. By the way, I have the delicious remnant of the Boston cream. I held up the cronut that I had yesterday from Bakehouse. This is a
Oh,
Boston cream
man.
cronut that I bought on Sunday. It's currently Wednesday, and it's the most delicious thing. My wife came and says the best. She loves Boston creams, but so it
Right.
got me to the Bakehouse the other day driving up.
Yeah.
I just want to taste it. And Luke and I are going up, and I said to him, he said, "Who do you think's gonna?" He had already, when I picked him up in Breezewood, because we met in Breezewood, I swear we weren't even going up that ramp where you used to get the little ticket. Now you just easy pass up the hill going out of Breezewood. And I had him in the car and I'm like, you picked the Ravens, didn't you? You know, like I
Right.
just got into him right in the car right away, about 10:15. And he said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "I think the Steelers are going to win, and here's why. I'm envisioning a night." And I didn't say the kicker's going to miss a kick, but my God, the kick of karma. Oh my God, with the Tucker
Know.
thing and what the people of the community have no idea what this Tucker thing and the
Yeah.
depth of it and the sickness of it and everything I know and I've heard and I've read and I people come up to me. The Tucker thing's shameful, you know, just in a general sense.
Right.
But I said to him, when this is done tonight, it's 24 degrees. The game's in Pittsburgh. They got Watt back. Lamar's playing half-assed. That's what I thought. He's half hurt, you know. He
Right.
played way better than that. Way better than that,
He
right?
did.
So well enough to win, like everybody over at the fan is saying, you know.
Sure.
So, and like I've said, and like Luke said, I mean, I'm not anti-Lamar. I'm anti-losing. I'm anti not
Right.
coming to OTAs. You know, I'm anti not having an agent. Just from a like, what are we doing here? Like all the
Right.
way around, I'm anti running into linebackers, which I was from the beginning because it
Yeah.
gets quarterbacks hurt. So, but I love Lamar, and I wouldn't bet against Lamar, and I won't bet against whoever the next coach is that can get the best out of him, because we've seen the best out of him is good for three MVPs.
Right.
So whatever it takes, if they have to practice at 2 in the afternoon, he wants to sleep in, whatever. He's going to run the building now. Steve made that decision. For the next couple of years, the quarterback's going to be in charge here because he's
Yeah.
making the money and he gives us a better chance to win than the head coach does. Okay. But I said to Luke, am I picturing at the end of the night, Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers walking off that field at the end of Tomlin's career in Pittsburgh, maybe certainly the end for Aaron Rodgers. Am I picturing that they're going to have a bad night? Or am I picturing that John Harbaugh, who's had the most blown leads ever with this group who's not very good, they don't
Right.
rush the passer. So it's going to give Aaron Rodgers more time than you think. And I think the Steelers are going to run the ball better than you think because I think the Ravens defense stinks. And
Right.
I know the Ravens offensive line isn't going to be great. And I know the Steelers are built to rush the quarterback. And I know that they got run on by Derrick Henry. But if they can stop that,
Right.
they'll have a chance to win tonight. And I thought to myself, I said to Luke, and I didn't want to be a jerk on the internet, but I'll be a jerk on the radio in the aftermath because I did say at halftime in my thing, I thought the Steelers would win the game. Now, I did not put a prediction up because I don't feel like dealing with all that. I already had to deal with Chad Steele. I had to talk to Chad Steele for 13 minutes last week
Right.
and be told that I'm not a professional when everybody in Pittsburgh knew I was. That's a whole different story. And you know better than that. The Pittsburgh Steelers knew better than that. And they
Yeah.
were apologetic that the Ravens would go through league sources to make sure that I wouldn't be credentialed and my employee would be. They're just,
Yeah.
it's a sleazy. And we've been talking for 40 minutes. That's 30 seconds on that inside poker from one sports writer to another.
I got
But
you.
I said, when the game's over, what do I envision happening? That Harbaugh and Gimpy Lamar are going to walk off the field after 8-8 and beat the Steelers and be victorious and march on. To your point, you haven't seen them in the same room together in a while, right? Like
Right.
in Pittsburgh, to crush the Steelers season, to end Rodgers' career, to put dirt on Tomlin. Like, is that what's in the soul of Lamar and Harbaugh right here, right now with this team? No, what's in their soul was losing to Cincinnati and Pittsburgh 4 weeks ago and being 1-5. And inevitably, 48 hours later, Steve Bisciotti came in and said, this isn't working. And it isn't not working because Lube missed the field goal. Because that ball could have gone through when we're playing football this Monday night, right? Like, that's how close it was. Somebody put a meme up. It was great. I don't know if you saw it. It was the goalposts, and in the middle, it said Tomlin safe or Tomlin fired if it goes through. And on the both sides, it said Harbaugh fired on both sides as to where the kick went. Like, literally, Harbaugh is still the coach this morning for sure if the ball goes through. But that didn't fix the problems that clearly there's a lot of there were a lot of problems there, Joel. Joel Poyley's my guest, by the way. Legend in Tampa. He's been a sports writer there for 4 decades, but he's a Pikesville, Baltimore guy. Go ahead, man. You're the first guest I've had on, and I'm being loquacious because I haven't
That's
talked
okay.
about a lot of this stuff. It's the first time I'm talking about it, you know?
No, so much was riding on that game, and you and Luke talked about it very well leading up to the game, where careers were at stake. I mean, Tomlin probably would have been out, and yet I think Mike's a really good coach. I mean, I know people in Pittsburgh have their issues with him, but I go back with Tomlin when he was a defensive backs coach under Dungy here, and
Learning the
then.
Tampa too, baby.
Yeah, and he was still on the staff when they let Tony go and Gruden came in, so he got a Super Bowl ring down here.
Did he work with Monty too? He worked with Monty Kiffin, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, that was the whole thing when they let Dungy go because he couldn't put an offense together and they brought Gruden in. The team that won the Super Bowl in 2002 was like it was Gruden's offense and Monty's defense. And I mean that's why they won it. But you know, it's interesting because you look at
And then
Dungy's
Dungy went on and won after that, right?
Yeah, and you
Got his
start
Super Bowl, right?
right, and you start mainly because he just let Peyton run the offense in Indy, and he took care of the defense. But you look at coaches and the arc of their careers. Dungy comes here, and I think it was '96, the Buccaneers. They had 14 consecutive losing seasons. First season, they go 5-11, but they win four of their last five. Second season, they're in the playoffs. Third season, they regress a little bit. They
That was
go eight.
Dilfer, right?
Yeah, and they go 8-8, you know, young team learning how to
How
win.
about that? It was Dilfer after Testaverde, right? Like, the Baltimore Tampa pipeline was a real thing then, right?
Yeah, I mean, and Dilfer, you know, was supposed to get them there, but check this. Season four was the year they made it to the NFC Championship game when they played the Rams in St. Louis, greatest show on turf. They shut them down. That was the 11-6 loss.
I was at that game, by the way.
Well, you know, and you
Yeah.
remember who was the Bucs quarterback? Sean King. You know, and that was kind of Tony's problem. And they came within one bad call of maybe winning that game. But here's what happened. The next 2 years, they get eliminated by McNabb and the Eagles in the first round. Dungy's regressing. He's sliding backwards. People are hollering. He can't bring in an OC. He was bringing in has-beens like Les Steckel and I think Mike Shula or Dave Shula. And their whole offense was just based around Dunn and Allstott. But the point being that coaches have that arc. And when things begin to slide backwards, and people here still love Tony. It's time for a change, you know. You just need a different voice, a different spark. But yeah, if that kick had gone through Sunday night, Harbaugh's still the coach. But to your point, you wonder how much he could have gotten out of Lamar. And it's a quarterback-driven league.
And we're
So
playing a home game here on Monday night, and the fans go down there. Lamar throws the ball over
yeah.
Houston's head 4 times, and they're playing in Jacksonville the following week. You go down there, and it's 24-21, which, at the end, Lamar's healthy and running around, and they can't stop Derrick Henry down there. Like, I can
Things
play
happen.
that out. That could have happened. It didn't because the ball sailed wide, like, literally, again, and it didn't because the defense kept allowing Aaron Rodgers to stick it up their rectum, and then Lamar had kept bailing them out again, right? A healthier Lamar than we've seen in 15 weeks, right? So there's just a lot of meat on the bone, and they'll continue to be. Joel Pauley is here. Dude, we're half an hour into this, and we set this whole thing up to talk about the Orioles, right? Like, the reason I booked you, when I booked you, John Harbaugh was still the coach. Like literally, right?
Yeah, but we can chop it up about the
Well,
Ravens
let's get a
here.
little orb. Joel Poyley's my guest. Tell everybody about your, like, give the 30-second elevator speech as to why I find you impressive enough to be my guest.
Well, to you, I'm like one of your old sports editors that I hold you to a higher standard, but that's why I
You're my
enjoy.
ombudsman.
Yeah, but that's why I enjoy listening to you and Luke. I mean, it truly is intelligent conversation, and you're my connection up there. I mean, I know there's other shows I could listen to, but you're my co-sell guy. You tell it like it is. Quick point about the Ravens, because you look at their season too. A lot of people aren't saying much about this. They recovered from the 1-5, won the five in a row during the week cupcake part of their schedule. But like the Bucs, who lost seven of their last nine, the Ravens lost four of their last six. There was two ugly losses to the Bengals on Thanksgiving and the Patriots.
Well, the Green
So
Bay win is the like that saved their season, and Jim Schwartz having a goal line stand with Myles Garrett and those guys
yeah.
kept the season alive so that they could even go to Pittsburgh on Sunday and
Right.
I could freeze and have a wonderful experience. I came home, my wife said, "Did you have a good time?" I'm like, "I had a great time. I had a great time. I'm not going to go up there and be all somber, but it still doesn't make any of it right. You know,
Yeah.
it's not right that Luke had to be in one room while
Yeah.
Harbaugh's ending his career and there's 50 players in the other room, and we're not getting, you know, we're not in front of the kicker. You choose to be in front of the kicker or in front of the coach. That's
Yeah.
bullshit. Like,
Tip
and I'll tell
that.
anybody with the NFL that, I'll tell anybody in the media, and I'll tell any fan that that is not the way it's done. It's not the way it's done. It's unprofessional, and that speaks to the culture of Bisciotti and the
Yeah.
culture that Harbaugh allowed that festers the Tuckers and the Ray Rice situation and the lies and really the discord with communication, because the emotional intelligence in that building reflects Bisciotti's emotional intelligence.
I'll tell you what, tip of the cap to the Steelers and Mike for, at least giving you a couple of ducats to get in the stadium and treating you with respect.
I spent an hour and a half on the phone with their PR director last week, who I've known through my wife's illness, through his daughter's
Yeah.
had a tragedy she's bounced back from. I mean, I've known Mike for years. The Pittsburgh Steelers credential me, and when I call them and they're like, "Well, what's going on here?" and they don't know, you
Yeah.
know, and I'm like, "Well, call them and ask them why." And then, of course, that doesn't happen. And
Yeah.
Chad Steele refused to get on a three-way, as I predicted he would, because he never does anything in writing, never does anything out in front. He won't come on my show and tell my audience, tell you,
Right.
let five guys like you ask him about my press credential, or five coaches that I've been with ask about my press credentials. It's
Yeah.
insane. It's insane. And that's the culture that begats Justin Tucker running around the city saying, "Do you know who I am and who
Right.
I'm with, and I'm protected, and you can't do anything about it. Who are you going to call?" Like, you know,
Yeah.
like literally, it's insane. But I'm using it to our advantage here. And instead of being at the Super Bowl, like, which I've been in Tampa in the good times and the bad times, you know, I'm doing a cup of Super Bowl and I'm doing what I'm doing. But it
Right.
speaks to what a mess the place has been, and the empty stadium, and the loss of faith in the coach. And quite frankly, I've lost faith in their integrity and in their honesty and in their message because of what I know and how I've been treated. And it's
Right.
insane. It's insane that I sat in the cold while my employee was upstairs. I was like his chauffeur. I dropped him off at the door. I
Know.
sat in the car afterward and watched the press conference on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, so like, I don't know what to say all these years in, Joel, but it's disgusting. And I know if for old sports writers like you don't dig it. Nobody should dig it. Nobody should dig it.
And
But
think about this too, Ness. Whoever they bring in is going to have to deal with that culture in that building. So it's going to take a special guy. Yeah,
you have to deal with Sashi Brown,
he's going to
literally.
have to mesh, with Lamar and be simpatico with him. But with all these things going on in the building, and you know a lot more about that than me, that's going to be an interesting hire. I mean, obviously it's a great job. In the last 24 hours, it's probably become the best coaching job available at this point. I tell you what, I mean, I don't know if Harbaugh would want to come down here. I don't know that he's the right fit with this team, because I think they need somebody more like an offensive guy. But that'll be a very interesting hire up there, because there's so much more behind the scenes there than just coaching, the X's and O's.
Well, I mean, Harbaugh's obviously going to be out doing a tour here this week. His agent, Brian Harlan, who I know, got on the horn within an hour. Talk about having an agent. Lamar not having an agent and John having a really good agent is like they were prepared for this. And I'm a little embarrassed. Luke and I was not in any way. Luke's like, I was on it. I had to text out. And I'm like, yeah, but I wasn't. We didn't scrimmage it. I didn't talk about it. I just didn't think it was going to happen. Like, I literally just didn't think Steve would feel that way about John, or that they would be as caustic as apparently it was on Tuesday, because Joel, nobody knew. The players didn't know, the coaches. This was a shock to probably everybody other than John's wife, his daughter, and his agent, to some, maybe his brother, his father. But like, I don't think John went into the, I think John thought, I'm going to walk out of the building on Tuesday with what I want, which is, I got to rein this in. I mean, I think John would know that it's not good. John knows what a good relationship and a bad relationship with his quarterback looks like, right? But also, like, hey, he works for us. Like, I can feel your John's jaw out on that. Like, I'm in charge here. Nobody's gonna throw Nestor Aparicio out without a press pass except me, because that's the way John is. So that when John denies that stuff like that, that burned me up, because I know John runs the building. How do I know John runs the building, Joel? I've known 15 of his assistants. 15 of his assistants. He
Well, you
runs
need.
it. He's as tyrannical as his brother. He just managed to keep a better reputation for a long time. That's all.
Who do you think got the Bisciotti that may have changed his mind on this?
I don't, you know what? When Brian was fired, and I know a lot about that, Steve keeps his own company, man. You know what I mean? He's a billionaire. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know his golf buddies, his Maryland, the guys that still call him Shots or Big Shotty, all of his Salisbury buddies and his boat buddies and his Trump buddies and his Florida buddies and like all of that. Gary Williams, you know what I mean? Like, Steve prides himself, and I respect this part. Nobody is better at personnel, which is why he didn't want any part of me. Nobody's better at personnel than him, and this is up his alley, he and DaCosta, to go out and find the next John Harbaugh that nobody's heard of, that's a something 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 somewhere else, the next diamond in the rough. And Eric loves scouting, loves the science of humans and what makes humans tick, and would like to get a different person to mesh with Lamar, because Eric's been with so many different humans: black, white, skinny, fat, kickers, punters, linemen, agents, money, rich guys, poor guys, country guys, city guys. Like, Eric's had to play that chameleon media guys, former media guys he helped get extra, like, Eric's one of the smartest humans I've ever met. Eric's a genius. So like, this is his chance to go put his stamp on this and bring to Steve the right guys. But I think this is where Sashi Brown gets involved, and Eric, and like, what the hell do you know about football? So that's the culture in the building when you bring Sashi Brown in, who nobody likes. It certainly hasn't given me any reason to like him, or think that he's competent. I watched his act on stage a couple weeks ago. He said the biggest thing he gets notes from Ravens fans is the concerns about post-game traffic. Now, you laughed out loud. I laughed out loud too. People didn't like that when I guffawed at that. And he's sitting next to Katie Griggs, who can't get anybody to the stadium to have any post-game traffic, right? So, I mean, her thing was concession prices and beer and, like all that. So, Joel Poile is here. By the way, I'm having breakfast with Katie on Elvis's birthday. Thank you. Thank you very much. On Thursday, she's a guest at the Connects event, where, I've seen Ryan Ripken speak at that. I've seen Ivan Bates. I mean, every month it's somebody different. Adam Jones was a guest last year. They're sponsored by the Orioles, and it's a wonderful event. And Katie Griggs is going to be the guest. So I would think the Harbaugh thing will be on the tip of everyone's tongue when I roll in on Thursday morning. Joel, tell me what you do. Do you still blogging and stuff, or writing down in Tampa? What are you doing, man? Or just listening to my
I'm
show?
basically retired, but I'm doing some freelance work. I'm doing some work actually with the University of Tampa Athletics Department website. write. You know, I write some history pieces. I am working on another book project, but I don't want to say a whole lot
Well,
about
the
it
Tom
yet.
Matty book, I haven't even promoted that. That you're like, that's the lead story. You're the Tom Matty author. I'm sorry.
All right,
And like, we
there you
talked
go.
all this football. Like, what the hell does this guy know about football? He knows Tom Matty, or knew Tom Matty, I should say.
There you go. Yeah, the book's been out, you know, like a year and a half now, but it's done very well up there. A few sales nationally. But yeah, always looking for other freelance projects. I don't want to say too much about this one, other than it will be a baseball project that I think will interest a lot of people, but it's in the discussion
All right,
stages.
listen, before I let you go, then we got to do
Okay.
2 minutes on baseball that'll
Okay.
turn into 20, especially with you, because you love baseball. You like football, but you love baseball. Am I right?
True, but I'm going to be honest with you. Through the years, and with the way baseball's changed, I like football and hockey just as much as baseball
Well,
now.
you're in Tampa too, and hockey, they market hockey down there, and they give you a reason. The Tampa Lightning give you a reason to love them. Right. And we've talked about this at length.
Yeah.
People would never understand it here. And the Tampa Rays have not recruited
Well, you
well.
talk about coaches. Cooper just coached his 1,000th game last week down here. John Cooper, the Lightning coach.
Going to
You
the
know, he's,
Hall of Fame like my buddy Barry Trotz, right?
yeah, won two Stanley Cups. They're in first place again. Okay, real quick on the Orioles. Everybody blamed Elias for last offseason. And, you know, looking back, Elias's offseason cost Hyde his job. Now, Hyde would never tell anybody that, but he just was given a bad roster. I'm going to give Elias a B plus for now while we're waiting to see if he brings in the ace. But what I'm going to get at is if the worst things happen, pitching injuries, because I love the depth. I know Boz from down here, he's a good pitcher. Eflin, great depth signing. That's the kind of thing the Dodgers would do, where you need all these extra pitchers. God forbid Alonso breaks his ankle like the second week of spring training. You can't blame Elias. He's spending Rubinstein and Arrigetti's money, and he's filling the holes. So let's see what he does. He needs another utility infielder, but let's see what he does the rest of the offseason. But I'd give him a B plus so far. What do you think?
Oh, 100%. I mean, they're all you can ask for, and this would be back to the Ravens while I'm wearing my purple Planet Fitness
Yeah.
team shirt. You would hope, whatever the coach is, pick any name, Kubiak, Kingsbury, wait, whatever they decide. And I
Right.
used to say, well, they'll get in a room and they'll pick the best guy because they're going to do a lot more interviewing. They're much more concerned about it than you and I are right now as
Sure.
to who their next head coach is going to be. So I'm going to respect whatever they come up with.
Right.
And then we're going to say, who are the guards? Who's the left tackle? Where's the pass rush coming from? Where's the secondary? How are the draft picks looking? Did we sign Linderbaum? We gave the money to Mark Andrews because Lamar likes him, I guess, right? Now Lamar's running the team. Lamar's running the offense. Lamar's going to pick the offensive coordinator. He's going to have to live with these guys, the quarterback coach, whatever it is. You're going to have to pacify him when it's contract time. We have to make draft picks. Eric's going to make them. They're picking 14, which is like, a little high for them, right? Like that's unusual.
Normally,
Maybe they get a Hall of Famer. Who knows, right? You can only hope, right? They've done that in the past and they've had busts. But all of that being said, all I want to see, and you'll be a great barometer because you'll be alive and I'll be alive. And we'll be together here in August and the Orioles will be in the pennant race, right? And you'll be doing radio with me and they'll be kicking
hopefully.
off the season against whomever, right?
Right.
And it'll be fresh and it'll be new and it'll be different, but it'll be Lamar and there'll be some enthusiasm if Lamar's healthy and everything's kumbaya. And we'll say, is the team they're putting on the field better than the team they put on the field Sunday night in Pittsburgh?
Right,
And it's going
right.
to be a way different team, right? It really is. For the amount of change that an 8-9 team with a new coach is going to go through, it's going to be more change than we're used to around here. And the Orioles, after a last place year where they
Right.
dealt off everybody, right? Every Mullins, every Hayes, every Santander, they're all gone or given
Right.
away or whatever.
Right.
And then the broken guys are broken, the Meanses and the guys that aren't coming back, Batista.
Yeah.
And then they figure out, well, Bradish is back and Rogers is here.
Sure.
I want to look at this on opening day. I'm going to have a lot of confidence in Rogers and Bradish as long as their arms don't fall off in Sarasota. I don't care what
Right.
the results look like. They've proven to
No,
me
yeah.
at least that I'm going to give them April and May and think like, I'll be enthusiastic and optimistic about them in April and May. Same thing with Boz and same thing with Eflin if they're healthy. I'll be, hey, there's potential here for these guys to give you 140 to 190 good innings in different ways and the bullpen and whatever else he does. Pete Alonso makes the team better already. I'm warmly optimistic that a healthy Westberg would be an all-star Westberg, that a motivated, healthy Gunnar Henderson could be an all-star MVP, top 10 candidate, top 10. They don't have to win the MVP, get a couple of votes, be a guy that hits 278 this year with 31 bombs and 112 RBIs in a year when the team wins 91 games. And that's the Gunnar Henderson that's going to get the $400 million he's looking for, right? So Rutschman's got to bounce back. I looked and his numbers weren't as bad as I thought they were, like in a general, maybe he can get back to hitting 252 and being the kind of catcher he needs to be. And the new manager will come in and Albernaz will do this and he'll be healthier and they'll get him stronger. And so he won't break down and core strength and all the things that Luke talks about. So, like, Joel, these are all blue chip first round. They're not Kobe Mayo or Heston Kjerstad, who have failed and haven't figured it out. They're more of the Holidays and the Rutschmans who have tried it out, are working it out, and they think new coaching, new leadership, fresh start, bring Rutschman back to Sarasota. Let's, treat him like a 1-1 instead of like a number two. And let's see if we can one more time. We have Bisaccia. There's a lot of artillery here, which made last year so disappointing in the same way that as we're sitting here and the head coach got fired on Tuesday afternoon, it's because he got fired with Ronnie Stanley, Marlon Humphrey, Roquan Smith, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, D Hop, Zay Flowers, Tyler Linderbaum, all these Hall of Pretty Goods and all of these first round draft picks and all of this. We won 15 games 2 years ago and blah, blah. And when that happens and you don't perform, you're Brandon Hyde, you're John Harbaugh, you get fired. But this fresh start thing, the next one that gets fired is Adley Rutschman. The next one that gets fired is Mark Andrews. The next one, literally. This is the life cycle of sports. But this time for pay and a time for play, I'm with you with the Orioles. They are a better team right now than the last time you and I got together, which was before they signed Alonso, right?
It's funny because I could make a point on Alonso and the Orioles and have one more point on the Ravens. You're going to love Pete. I
Oh, he's a
know.
Tampa kid, right?
Yeah, I mean, he played at Tampa Plant. I was already past covering high schools by then, but great in the community. Rubenstein made the same point at the press conference that I was thinking. He could be this era's Frank Robinson. I mean, that's what we're hoping. But you're going to love him up there. He's great in the community. He plays every game, so he plays. Even when he's hurt, and he just makes everybody around him in the lineup better. The other thing I wanted to say about the Ravens is, so much of, especially with football, is the reputation of a team. And I'm down here, and I'm always thinking of the Ravens as this bunch of dogs on defense. They haven't been that way for a couple years now. I mean, and we all know this, Suggs, Lewis, Reed, Woodson, Boulware, I mean, you name it, they're all gone. But I want to see that defense next year play like, as LT would say, a bunch of crazed dogs. They've lost that. It's the same thing down here with Tampa. Everybody still remembers, the four Hall of Famers, Sapp, Brooks, Lynch, Barber. But this defense down here is a joke. I mean, it's a bunch of guys running around with their like chickens with their heads cut off. So let's see what goes on with the coach and what they do with the Ravens. That's going to be very interesting, and I'm sure you'll be all over it.
Oh, he is just this close to Sarasota. He left us from Pikesville for Tampa 4 decades ago. He's got all that sun protection going on in his little sunroom down there while it's 28. Although, dude, it might hit 60 here this week. So for like a minute, for just a minute at 4 in the afternoon. So for that, I am basking in the glow of the sunshine while the Ravens look for a new head coach and we get ready for spring training. Luke is on it. If you're on the the WNST text service. Quick apology to anybody who's on the AT&T service. Apparently, you got your text way later. It was out. That's outside of my pay grade for the text service. I got mine at 5:14. I put it out. We tried. I'm sorry. We'll do better. And it's an AT&T. It's a carrier issue. So and my friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, always behind our WNST text service. And I've been trying to drag Bill Cole onto the show back and forth. But we will make that happen, as well as the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Have Candy Cane Cash scented tickets to give away. Still smells like the holidays around here. And that's just not my eggnog from Coco's as well, which was very spiked. My wife texted me in the middle of the game the other night. She's home in the warmth with a cat on her lap. I'm freezing my ass off and she's drinking hottie toddy. I'm like, how did I not sneak some eggnog into Acrisure Stadium or whatever the hell they're calling it? It's been a weird week. Up to Pittsburgh, back from Pittsburgh, eating pastries from Frederick, eating leftover pizza from Monroeville that Dan Marino's family made for me up there at the Anthony's Coal Fire. It's been a wild, wild week. I've done radio. I'm doing podcasts. We're here. There's going to be some baseball, going to be some football. And at some point, I'm going to exhale from this holiday and say Happy New Year to everybody out there. My thanks to Joel Poily down in Tampa for always being with us. Go buy his book on Tom Maddie. He's a good man and a good foil for me. Maybe get that sponsored. Foily, Poily, maybe get Reynolds Wrap to buy that. I'm Nestor. We're WNST. Stay with us. We're Baltimore Positive.